A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere.
Haven,
in time
concentrate on Sin. Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch. The lights are probably gone. So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 345. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about An Englishman's Castle. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon from England. Hello.
We are looking at a BBC serial from 1978, 3 50-minute episodes set in an alternate history, alternate version of Great Britain, where the Nazis won World War II. And this is set in the present day and deals with what that world would look like.
And this, I know I often say this, Brian, but this is a really interesting one for us to talk about. And I confess it was one that I'd not heard about until we put it on our list. So some good stuff to talk about here.
Yes, absolutely. It definitely is something that has a lot of depth and a lot to talk about. So let's get into the setup.
Okay, so our lead character is a chap called Peter Ingram. He is a writer, possibly the sort of one of the showrunners of a successful television drama, The Show Within a Show, which is also called An Englishman's Castle. This is a television series that is broadcast 5 nights a week on something called the British Broadcasting Network, which seems to have replaced the BBC within this timeline, as far as we can tell. It's a very popular show. It keeps the nation distracted from, shall we say, things that are going on in politics and with the police and stuff in the background. It's very much, this is the nation's favourite distraction, watching An Englishman's Castle.
Yes, it does seem to be the show that everyone is watching. We also learn that there are terrorist bombings that are happening, and there are a series of events and revelations that will disturb Peter Ingram, and his comfortable lifestyle will be pulled out of balance. And we sort of learn as we go more about this world that we've been introduced to.
Yes, and we'll come back to this several times, I think, but you know that Peter Ingram is a very well-off, comfortable chap at the start of this series, who's doing very well out of his television show.
Yes, absolutely. So getting into our characters, the first one, of course, is Peter Ingram, who we've mentioned a couple times already. A quite well-off and comfortable writer who has based this television series, An Englishman's Castle, on his own experiences in the war. The show within a show is set during World War II, while we are watching things play out in the 1970s in this alternate timeline. And Peter Ingram is played by Kenneth Moore, who is well known from Reach for the Sky, Doctor in the House, and many other shows.
Yes, one of, you know, British film's big movie stars here appearing on television in 1978.
Also important is Jill, played by Isla Blair, a glamorous young actor who is on the show within a show, who starts a relationship with Ingram. So she sort of becomes his mistress as he's already married.
Yes, and their relationship will have deep implications. We should also mention a character called Harmer. I don't know if we ever get his first name, but Harmer, played by Anthony Bate, is the controller of British Broadcasting. And he is a smooth and very suave company man who oversees the network. He oversees Ingram's work on An Englishman's Castle. And they will have several discussions throughout this series about key points, which will be quite fascinating and interesting to get to. And of course, Anthony Bate, well known for playing sort of figures of British authority. You might remember him playing Minister Oliver Lacon in the John le Carré series Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the Alec Guinness version. And also, I believe he was in Smiley's People as well. But we probably know him best for playing the male character in During Barty's Party, which, if you remember, was one of the episodes of Nigel Neal's, I think, 6-episode serial Beasts. And it was one of our favourite episodes. I think it's one of most people's favourite episodes from that series. He was quite remarkable in that. But here he is playing the controller, a very sort of like dominant figure, but polite and charming and suave.
Yes, he is very much representing the establishment in this world. And he's the one who's telling us everything is okay. And we gradually have to learn that, well, maybe it isn't.
Now, we've also got Ingram's two sons. The first one, or rather his younger son, Mark Ingram, who is the angry young man in this series. He's pushing back against his father's comfortable middle-class views, as, of course, many a son does. But he's also possibly maybe involved in some ways with what we learn is the resistance. And Mark was played by a very recognisable but a very young Nigel Havers, who, of course, had gone on to have a great career. But here he is very early on playing a sort of angry young man's son.
Yes, I think of Nigel Havers from his guest appearance in the Sarah Jane Adventures. But, of course, he has done a great deal of high-profile work and is a very respected actor now. Henry Ingram, played by David Meyer, is the other son, the older son, and he is very much a company man working for the television network and, in fact, working on the same show, and is climbing the ladder towards becoming a director on An Englishman's Castle.
Indeed, and there's some tension, obviously, between the two brothers and between, you know, sons and father. Ingram's obviously quite delighted that Henry is making his way up in the world, but he obviously clashes with Mark several times. They have sort of political arguments, which are part of this show.
Yes, we clearly get the two sons representing two different ways of the younger generation moving forward and two different ways of children interacting with their parents. So An Englishman's Castle slowly reveals this alternate reality, this other version of what was the present day when this was broadcast, the 1970s, in this version of history where Great Britain surrendered to Germany in 1940. And what we see is something that looks very comfortable and very much okay in Ingram's world, you know, in this quite privileged position that he's in. And we have something where on the surface, things seem to look okay.
Indeed they do. And there's some, you know, there are some key features about this show in that, as you say, Brian, it reveals some of the details of this alternate history to us quite gradually. But also that he, you know, our central character is doing rather well for it. In fact, most of Britain seems to be doing quite well. Peter Ingram is, as we've said frequently, he's well off. He does lots of wining and dining, usually after the show has finished its production. There's frequently scenes of him in a restaurant. And of course, he's this class of 1970s men, powerful positions who have affairs. We also see Harmer appears to be entertaining a young lady who's not his wife in the same restaurant. So we get this sort of very much this feeling of people being comfortable, things being okay. And we only get glimpses of some of the harsher realities of life. Early on, there's a bombing attack, and we get some passing references to what the police may actually be doing with some of the suspects that they arrest. And we also get this realization, quite devastating, but, you know, it creeps up on us that to be Jewish in this version of Britain is illegal, and that Jewish people, well, there is an attempt to get rid of them, Brian.
Yes, and things like concentration camps are mentioned in passing, but it's made clear that this was a matter of a situation where the Jews were essentially wiped out. And in Great Britain and most other countries, they're gone. And the claim, which we learn is not necessarily true, is that there is no one left, that there are no Jews left in Great Britain. And we slowly realize that there is a lot that is very wrong in this world that's being portrayed. And we also realize that the show within a show, An Englishman's Castle, is being used for state propaganda and showing the British surrender as the sort of sensible approach, and portraying Nazi Germany as being sort of benign and a peaceful force for good. So we get these things where we gradually see some of what is very, very wrong below the surface.
Indeed we do. And it is, as you've sort of gathered from what we've been saying, this is quite challenging stuff in a way, but presented to us in a sort of gradual realization of some of the horrors that underlie this apparently comfortable world. And as you say, Brian, the show within a show, we see this English family often sitting down to eat together during the war and discussing how they don't want to sacrifice their own sons and how, you know, the sensible approach is to surrender. So it's very interesting stuff. And the show within a show is a good concept for this as well.
Yes, I think that's right. I think it's a good way of showing several different things through what the media is allowed to communicate, and also showing things through the behind the scenes things that are going on.
It is indeed, yes. And of course, as we've said, Peter Ingram, the writer in this series, seems to be fairly comfortable. But drama is, of course, conflict and change and decisions. And so he is starting to have his doubts about the lie that his comfortable life appears to be built on. He's starting to push back against Mr. Harmer's calm but firm direction and diktats. And they get, you know, we get very sort of several head-to-head chats between them, either in Harmer's office or in the restaurant, which at first seem to be quite comfortable and cozy, but get more challenging as the series progresses, Brian.
Yes, this does something that we've seen before in other shows, in that there are quite a few conversations between two people, and they reveal a lot through those. So we should get to our production notes.
Yes, okay. So not too many notes, because as I say, this is a show that perhaps has gone under some radars, including mine. An Englishman's Castle was written by Philip Mackey, who had been, interestingly, appointed as a staff writer to the BBC at exactly the same time as Nigel Neill in 1955. He was one of the two writers that the BBC put on staff then. He's best remembered on British television for writing The Naked Civil Servant, which starred famously John Hurt playing the role of Quentin Crisp.
That's a very well-remembered and very highly regarded piece of drama there.
Yes, I mean, it's one of those, you know, huge shows from British TV in the 1970s, The Naked Civil Servant, and of course, John Hurt, who we've seen a couple of times for British Invaders. Memorable performance there, but then again, he was memorable in just about everything he did. And another little connection for us on British Invaders was that Philip Mackey was the grandfather of Pearl Mackey, who, of course, played Bill Potts in Series 10 of the relaunch of Doctor Who. She was the 12th Doctor's companion for a series, and quite a good one, I thought, as well.
Yes, she was, but that's a great connection. That's a nice one there. An Englishman's Castle was commissioned and produced by Innes Lloyd, who, of course, was a Doctor Who producer in the 1960s. And it was directed by Paul Cepisoni, who had a long career directing British television, including a few episodes of Doomwatch and a few episodes of Adam Adamant Lives. So some good 1960s and 70s stuff there. They filmed many of the show-within-a-show type selections in actual BBC rehearsal rooms and production booths, where, you know, the tape marks on rehearsal floors and production consoles and so on, a lot of those were the real things that were just being used for this purpose, which is something that happens when you do a show-within-a-show. We saw something like that a long time ago with UFO, where they did the same sorts of things.
Oh, right. Yes, I remember. Each episode of this three-episode series starts with a sort of behind-the-scenes moments in the television production office with the director sitting at the console with people operating the music and then various lighting cues and so on. And we see the title card of the series within a series come up on the screen. And so we get that each time. And it is actually, I think it's quite an interesting and charming look at how television was being produced then, Brian. You know, as you say, the rehearsal studios with the bits of the walls and the furniture marked out on the floors with tape, and actors discussing how best to give, you know, give a certain line and so on. It's all quite fun in a way.
Yes, it is. It is a nice look at things that way, but it was used very well in this, I think. An Englishman's Castle was broadcast at 9 p.m. on BBC Two, starting Monday, June 5th, 1978, and then ran weekly for its three episodes.
And we often mention the Radio Times Genome Project, which puts details of all these original broadcasts online. So I've been back and looked for these episodes as the original sort of listings. And I know there was a preview article about An Englishman's Castle in the Radio Times the week before the broadcast. But of course, it didn't make the cover because at the time, the football or soccer World Cup in Argentina was going on. And that was the cover image for that particular issue of the Radio Times. And I would love to actually sort of track down that preview article and see how much sort of information they gave about the setting. Because as we've said, this show... it's very clever in the way it just slowly fills us in on the backstory of this world.
Yeah, it would be interesting to see that.
Now, we do know that it was well reviewed and that it was then repeated the following year on BBC One, March 1979. Usually, I think, Brian, that's a marker of success if something graduates from BBC Two to BBC One.
Yes, I think that's right. And even getting a rerun the following year suggested that the BBC had confidence in it.
So, interesting stuff. That's all the information we've been able to glean about the production of An Englishman's Castle. Let's talk about the availability, because we hope we've piqued your interest and you're going to track this one down. In Region 2, I've been watching a Simply Media DVD release from 2015. I suppose, fairly typical for the time period, we get no extra features, unfortunately, Brian. We just get the three 50-minute episodes, currently about £14 for that DVD, and not available streaming anywhere that I'm aware of. Over the pond in Region 1, I guess it's going to be slightly more tricky for this one, Brian.
Yes, in Region 1, there is no release. There are some imports floating around on Amazon. I saw some just recently for about $15 American and about $18 Canadian. So there are some imported copies floating around, but it is a Region 2 DVD, and that's what you'll need to play to see this.
Okay, so that's how to get hold of it. I guess that takes us to the end of this episode and getting towards next time.
Absolutely. So next time, we will look a bit more at the moral dilemma or the different dilemmas that Peter Ingram finds himself in. And we'll talk about the show a little more, the show within the show and all. And we'll talk about how it shows things rather than tells things in its storytelling and works with the dialogue, which is so interesting. And we'll compare it to some of the other alternate history and sort of dystopian society type things that we've seen on film and TV.
So quite a bit to talk about next time, actually, because this is very intriguing. And we'll also be discussing whether we will review and whether we will recommend this DVD set to you, our listeners.
Yes, there's definitely a lot here to get into more because it's quite an interesting show. Until then, you can find us at BritishInvaders.com with all of our past episodes there. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our Facebook group, and we have more discussions you can join in with there.
Indeed, we do. Thankfully, we're not on the British Broadcasting Network from this show, but we are on the Voice of Geeks Network, which you can find at vognetwork.com. We are proud members of the Voice of Geeks, vognetwork.com, to check out more.
Yes, indeed. So thank you for listening. This is Brian from Canada, signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.